Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Welcome in on Wednesday. Excuse me. I don't even know what day it is. That is a great start to this show. I don't even know what day it is to get things going. Try again. Here we go on a Wednesday. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. During baseball season, when I don't know what day it is, I have a perfectly good excuse because every day is the same. I don't have an excuse today. I just don't know what day it is. Welcome in. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, feel free to leave a comment in the chat, and we'll address some of those as we go along this evening. A bunch to get to today. We'll continue that Cardinals conversation that we had going on during Rush Hour Sports. I think the idea of what this roster could look like and who could potentially be removed from the roster beyond the names that we've spent so much time talking about, basically beyond Arenado, Burleson, Gorman, Donovan, Nootbaar. Like Arenado plus those four left-handers, where the thought process has always been, you're probably going to move on from Arenado and then one or two of those other guys are going to get moved. But where else are there areas where you could move on from guys and you can get something okay in return for them? It's not going to be this super impactful type guy versus, which of these guys do you want to have stick around? So we'll continue that conversation moving forward. Bernie Miklas is going to join us. So in less than 10 minutes, he had a really good column yesterday talking about the Cardinals' ability and historical The fact that they've been a draft and develop team. They got away from it in recent years. They are trying to return to it. But he went very deep into the history of that. I want to talk to him a little bit about that. And also, he had a video that ran today on what Heim Bloom should be looking to accomplish. So we're going to talk through some of that with Bernie Miklas later on. Other guest on the program today, Jerry Palm, is going to join us next hour. We'll talk both college football and college basketball with Jerry. Our friend Joe Roderick from STL Sports Central will join us at 7:35. We'll play back some cuts from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. We'll try to get those in just before they get started tonight. The Blues are in action this evening, and they're going to get started probably in about a half hour or so. So when we get done with Bernie, we'll play for you a little bit of what Jim Montgomery had to say. And then also today was a big day for City SC. Today was the official introduction of their new sporting director. And we I don't know what to expect here moving forward, but I think from a, you know, most individuals do win the press conference. But I think Corey Ray today certainly won the press conference when speaking for the first time as a city sporting director. Hopefully we can get him on this show at some point in the relatively near future. I'm sure he is juggling a whole bunch of things here at the moment, but we'll try to get him on sooner than later to be able to talk with us about some things. But yeah, certainly looking forward to seeing what he can do with this team and how it's going to look different moving forward. I think it is going to look a little bit different. And I think he also, you know, much like what Heim Bloom has been doing with the Cardinals of trying to augment the infrastructure, bring in a lot of new people, the Cardinals have been woefully understaffed for a number of years. Just hearing a little bit of what Ray had to say today, it gives me the sense that there's some areas that City does not have covered in terms of scouting and some other things. And from the sporting side, they could use an infusion of some other individuals. Seems like he's got the go-ahead to find those people, and we'll see what that ends up looking like moving forward. But that's going to be an important part of what they're trying to do. It's not just Ray trying to accomplish things. He's got to have a staff that he very much trusts. So we'll see how that all plays out here over the next, I don't know, next year, next 2 years. I don't know how long it's going to be for City to be able to turn things back around. I think people in St. Louis saw what they did in the first year of existence and said, well, it shouldn't be that hard to get things going again. And MLS is in a spot where you can kind of turn on a dime. That's just the way their system is. I don't know if City is set up for that or not, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll hear from Corey Ray coming up in just a while. As always, if you want to join in on the program, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment on the chat, and we'll try to address some of those as we go along through the evening. We've got you till 8 o'clock this evening, full two-hour show. More two-hour shows than not this week. We'll have a short show tomorrow for SLU basketball, and then I think we're back with you for a full 2 hours on Friday night. So three of our five shows this week are full two-hour shows. And you know, we're only about a month away now from Countdown to Opening Day show returning to KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. That will start at the Baseball Winter Meetings. Baseball Winter Meetings will be December 8th through the 11th. So tomorrow is going to be 4 or 5 weeks away from the first edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show. So World Series gets over. Free agency opens up. We got a question earlier from Justin asking if I think that the Cardinals are going to, do team sign players after free agency opens tomorrow? Generally, not much. It's not like the NBA or the NFL where free agency opens and boom, teams start to get really active. It takes a long time. Sometimes it's after the winter meetings that things really pick up. So if you're going to get excited about free agency opening up tomorrow, because it's 5 days after the World Series, I would tell you, you can probably find something better to do with your time and with your emotions, because in all likelihood, it's not going to result in much happening. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Bernie Miklas will join us in just a moment as we roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you till 8 o'clock this evening. It is that time of the week where we're very happy to welcome on a guy you hear all the time here on KMOX, where it's Rush Hour Sports, Gas House Gang, Sports on a Sunday Morning, Glover Show, Chris and Ellie. He's all over the place. He is Bernie Miklas. Of course, you read him and you watch him at STL Sports Central. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Always great to be with you, Pally.
So I enjoyed your column yesterday, and just to kind of set this up, you read, and I found the blog post or the story that you you referenced, and it was an individual basically said the Cardinals don't have much of a track record when it comes to drafting and developing, so they shouldn't even do it anymore. And you pushed back in a way that is so unique to you, and you put a ton of time into a column. It was fun to read yesterday, because I don't know if the young man who wrote the I found that piece. I copied and pasted your little snippet and found the thing, but it was really good yesterday. I enjoyed your clap back, I guess we could call it.
Yeah, you know, here's the deal, right? I'm not trying to be the media sheriff. I'm really not. I got my own flaws, lots of them. But maybe it's because, and this is self-serving, I apologize. Maybe it's because I do so much research and I do some homework, a lot of homework, because I want to be right. I want to know what I'm talking about. I don't make these sweeping generalizations without, you know, backing them up with substance. So it always bothers me. Listen, man, there's plenty of stuff over the last, you know, 10 years or so to rip the Cardinals about. Plenty of stuff. And I would never say a peep about it. I've ripped the Cardinals a lot. I'm very disappointed the way they let the farm system, player development system slide, the way they were kind of stuck in the middle. They were kind of competing, but not really going all in. You know, there's been a lot of things that have been really, really frustrating with them. But that's why I don't understand why to express some disdain for the Cardinals, you know, you have to like throw something out there that is a completely false premise. You know, I don't get that. Like, what's the point of that? You know, like, in other words, you don't have to make stuff up. Go with the stuff that's actually got a foundation. And, you know, this gentleman, you know, he actually said the Cardinals have never truly been a player development franchise. What? They invented player development. A guy named Branch Rickey, right? You know, I'm sure George Kissel's rolling over. Yeah, tell his family that they weren't into player development. I mean, and you know, the and I've heard fans say this, though, too. I've heard other media people say, well, you know, but they had all these stars. And, you know, they got these stars from other teams. Yeah, because they traded their own prospects. In other words, since when does trading prospects for Jim Edmonds, Scott Rowland, Mark McGwire, Matt Holliday, so on and so forth, since when is that like, well, that doesn't count? I mean, the beautiful thing about having a terrific player development system is that the guys that, you know, you want to use that can fill roles on your team and be starters, well, you have them. But if you have a surplus or you're at a position where maybe some good prospects don't fit, well, they have value as trade pieces. So why are we dismissing that as if it's bogus or something? Well, they got Matt Holliday in a trade. Okay, they didn't develop him, but people they did develop were used in the trade to get him. Yeah. Tell me what the damn difference is.
There's not a real difference of significance. And from a big picture standpoint, I have this conversation with my dad a lot because he'll send me stuff sometimes from some of these sites and I'll go, Dad, you can't be reading this. This is not great. And we live in a world where, look, there are plenty of writers, bloggers, whatever you want to call them, who are fantastic young individuals who are maybe trying to get into the business or who are very smart and, you know, do something else for a living but have a passion about writing for the Cardinals. And they're on these sites and they're great. And I know you know many of those individuals, but on those exact same sites, there's people who don't have that sort of passion to go do the research. And even, you know, something like the Sporting News, which used to be such a great, great, great publication and, you know, based here in St. Louis, now it's turned into something where sometimes they're using AI and, you know, there's a lot of kind of probably unpaid type people who are just writing stuff. It's a really weird area in media that we're in right now because there's so many more avenues for people to go out and have a voice, but sometimes it's people that shouldn't have a voice and then they're impacting what other people are thinking.
Yeah, and I was like, I'll give you an example and then I'll shut up about it, but I appreciate your insight into this too. You know, if you go in like 2011 World Series champions, right? Homegrown pitchers, guys they drafted and developed, they handled 44% of the innings in that postseason. But if we include pitchers on the Cardinals in 2011 that they acquired by trading prospects to get them, 67% of the innings pitched in the 2011 postseason were done by either their own prospects or someone they got because they traded their own prospects. And then in 2011... the postseason, internally developed hitters took 55% of the plate appearances. Now, if you add Matt Holliday, again, they traded prospects for him. 64.5% of the plate appearances were taken by guys that they drafted, developed, or they traded for by sending prospects to get them. So why is somebody writing? Oh, they've never been a true player development team. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's wacky.
It's just absurd. So anyway, and I think that's, I sound like the old guy here now, but
that's okay.
I think what it is, you know, everyone's got to be the tough guy. Everyone's got to make a splash on Twitter, you know. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to say the Cardinals have never really been a player development franchise. You know, it's this compulsion to show that you're tough or something that leads to, in my opinion, a lot of mistakes and some irresponsible stuff. That's why you don't see me banging away on X all the time, running my mouth. I just don't do it because a lot of times it's heat of the moment. You're overreacting to something. And what's the point with that? Because a game can change two innings later, right?
Yeah. No, it can. And you know, to the player development thing, nobody criticizes the Brewers for not being a player development organization. I think we look up to what they do, but we look at that roster this year. That was largely a roster of major league acquisitions, whether it was trades, whether it was picking guys up off of waivers, like a lot of sort of under the radar type moves that they didn't have a whole lot of homegrown talent producing. They had some, but nobody ever looks at them and goes, oh, they're bad at developing talent just because maybe that roster didn't have a ton of it.
Right. That's exactly right. Listen, smart front offices or smart operations, they find any number of ways to do a really good job getting talent. You know, they can trade for it. They can develop in their own. They can sign value free agents. But the Cardinals, this is why I was kind of shocked. And frankly, I'm surprised so many people seem to believe this. You know, the Cardinals lost their way. I mean, they really, really fell apart in terms of developing their own pitching. But if you look at the teams they had, even starting in 2009, let's just say through 2015, 2019 with Jack Flaherty, if you look at all the young starting pitchers they had who were big-time guys as far as forming the spine of that rotation and all of the great young relievers they had, you know, Rosenthal, Segrist, Jason Mott was one of their guys. I mean, all of these killer Carlos Martinez, who was great in the bullpen as a young guy, huge, huge factor in those postseasons. So I don't know how anyone – see, it's not like that happened in 1934, right? I don't know how anyone who watched Cardinals baseball during that time, not all that long ago, are not – what's the word? Not informed or not cognizant of the fact that young, homegrown, developed starting pitching and bullpen guys were huge in the success over that great time for Cardinals baseball.
Yeah.
And they lost their way. They let it lapse. And so John Mozeliak had to go out there every winter trying to hustle and scramble for starting pitching because they weren't developing their own.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas. Last thing for you before we get you out of here for the day. I saw earlier today on social media that some of the betting markets have Eli Drinkwitz now as the betting favorite to land the mm-hmm. Penn State job. What's your gut feeling say right now? And again, this is something that I won't hold you to it. Things change at any given moment. But right now at 6:30 p.m. on November 5th, what's your gut feeling that Drink is still coaching Mizzou next year?
You know, there's a couple guys that are in the media, is SEC-based. You know, Andy Staples is one of them. I've known him a long time. He really knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak. And he's a Florida guy. In fact, he was a walk-on football player under Urban Meyer there. Andy Staples has been saying, you know, that if Lane Kiffin is out of the market for Florida, the guy that really makes the most sense for Florida is Eli Drinkwitz. Now, the Penn State thing, I'm not sure about. In other words, I read people that I think are really good media insiders there that know what they're talking about, and they're kind of all over the map. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying there doesn't seem to be a consensus. But I think generally speaking, based on media people that I trust, that if Kiffin's not going to be a factor for the Florida job, I don't think there's any doubt that Drinkwitz will certainly be a prominent factor. That doesn't mean, oh, yeah, they're going to hire him. But he'll be right there as far as the list of runner-up candidates. He might be at the top of the list. Who knows?
It's going to be fascinating to watch this whole thing play out with Mizzou, both from a coaching situation, from a, you know, the first college football rankings are out. They were in. If they win a bunch of games, which seems not totally likely, there's still a path for them to get to the playoff. There's some unsettled waters, I guess you could say, right now when it comes to Mizzou football.
Well, there really is. And I listen, I know this, and this is from my friend Randy Carricker, who's got great, great contacts. The Mizzou money people are there and they're ready. They've already prepared to do whatever it takes financially to keep Drinkwitz. So the effort will be made. But maybe he will see, like, hey, I got a better chance to win a national championship if I'm at Florida than Missouri. And there's some validity to that, given the fact that Florida's won three of them with Spurrier and Urban Meyer, which not that long ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a valid thing to say that the ceiling, the highest potential ceiling at Florida is higher than the highest potential ceiling at Mizzou. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
No, not at all. And the one thing about Drinkwitz that has a widespread appeal, and I know this is true of Penn State because I did read something about this and they were pretty adamant about it. James Franklin was not good at the NIL. He was ambivalent. And the transfer, the NIL was fine. I misspoke. He wasn't really good. He wasn't really fired up about the transfer portal. And Penn State surprisingly really didn't do all that great with that. Drinkwitz was ranked seventh this past offseason in the transfer portal. And he's one of the very best in college football at it. And so programs that are sleeping giants, or they have been giants, but they're sleeping now. Part of it is they don't exploit every avenue to get talent the way that Eli Drinkwitz does. So that makes him extra attractive to those programs. Plus he can fire up the fans because he runs his mouth. He's colorful. He's got a lot of energy, you know, that kind of thing. He can actually market the program that he coaches.
He is Bernie Miklas. You hear him all over here on KMOX. Read his daily columns and watch his daily videos over at STL Sports Central. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. Blues at Capitals tonight just getting underway. Let's listen in to a little bit of what Jim Montgomery had to say prior to this evening's game. As the Blues, they have been playing better hockey here of late as they won their last time out, which was very good to see. It ended a 7-game losing streak, and even in their two losses leading into this last game, you could certainly see some better things that were happening. And Montgomery did say when speaking today in front of today's game that certainly things are moving in the right direction.
The team game is built in the right way. We've gotten significantly better defensively, which, you know, the beginning of the year, our first 9 games was not good enough. Left our goalies out to dry. We've really shored that area up, and you're starting to see more puck possession. You see us making more plays because we're creating turnovers, which is helping our offense.
I thought this was interesting because at the end of the day, what's it about? It's about winning, right? It's wins and losses, but there are things that you want to do to get to those wins. And sometimes you can play well, and it doesn't result in a win. And you can deal with that for a little while. Eventually, you have to get the win. So he talked a bit more about, especially looking at those two games prior to the last one, where the team was playing better, but they weren't getting a W next to their name, how he goes about kind of reconciling between acknowledging playing better, but also needing to find wins.
You got to get results.
Yeah.
We've made a lot of game management mistakes that have led to some of our demise. And then, like I said, first 4 games was rush defense. Next 4 games was D-zone coverage. So there has been a lot of our own doing here. But since then, I think, you know, of the last 3 games, we lost 2, but we should have been in a better situation. But that being said, now we got to dig out of it, and we're going to win some games we shouldn't have. Balances out every year. But for us, we got to become consistently competitive and consistently hard to play against at both net fronts.
Dalibor Dvorsky had his first goal the other night on the power play, and that was the first goal after the team got down by a 2-0 score. And he's an exciting player. There's a lot of young prospects in this organization, but right now seeing both Dvorsky and Snuggerud on the team together, they play on the power play together, it's really, really fun. And Montgomery feels like Dvorsky's really starting to show who he is.
Well, I think I'm already seeing it out there because he let 2 backhanders go right on the goal line and hit the crossbar today on tough plays, and both sequences were on 2-on-1s, and I just whispered to myself, those are great hands. So we're just starting to see a little bit of what he's going to become.
Coming into tonight's matchup, there were just some small tweaks when it comes to the lineup. Nathan Walker reinserted into the lineup. He's the fourth wing right winger, along with Nick Bjugstad and Alexei Toropchenko on that line. And then Logan Mailloux back in there as well. He's on that third defensive pairing. He's been paired up with Cam Fowler. And speaking about those two guys and the reason for them coming back in, obviously Montgomery wants to be able to use his roster as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, we think it's important against a team like Washington. You have some physicality, and both those guys bring physicality. And we don't want guys sitting out too long. And, you know, both of them are big parts of our team this year and for the future.
So back-to-back, Jordan Binnington gets the starting goal today. It's going to be Joel Hofer getting the start coming up tomorrow. When you look at Binnington and what he has accomplished over his career, being the guy that's been in there more than any other goalie in Blues history, Montgomery feels like it's something that probably should be talked about a little bit more. Just really remarkable what Binnington has been able to do over his career with the Blues.
It's pretty incredible, you know, and I you think about it, I don't think he played a game in the NHL till he was 25. So it's incredible that he's getting most games played by a goaltender in a organization that's had Curtis Joseph, Grant Fuhr, Mike Liut. I'm forgetting a couple of others of the legendary goaltenders that have played here. But, you know, that speaks for itself just with those three goaltenders.
And then the final thing is they match up against the Capitals tonight. Montgomery very much expecting a challenge, despite the fact that Washington comes into this game having lost four straight.
Well, you know, the five-on-five, they're really good. Defensively, they don't give a lot of time and space. They play very similar to Florida that way, man-on-man, heavy, double up real quick on any loose pucks. So you're going to have to hold on to pucks. You're going to have to win a lot of one-on-one battles to have any possession time. And then their defensemen jumping up into the rush, Carlson, six, and Sandin, I think he's 38. Those three really jump in the neutral zone and off breakouts, and we got to be aware of them so that we have four guys back and we can mark them up.
So that's Jim Montgomery speaking in front of tonight's Blues at Capitals game, which is just now getting underway. They're just getting it started, and there is currently no score in Washington. Blues are on a back-to-back as they're going to match up against Buffalo coming up tomorrow night. So you've got Hofer in goal tomorrow, presumably. You generally play two different goalies on the back-to-back. So Binnington going tonight, a Buffalo team that is not especially good. That's pretty standard. Buffalo, it's been a while since they have had a good team. But an opportunity for them to take another step forward tonight. And you really want to win this game, if possible, this evening just to get a win, but also because of the unknowns that go along with Hofer, where he has really been struggling here recently, and you don't totally know what to expect from him going into tomorrow night's game. But the Blues, it's not like a big ramp up. It's not a big trajectory change. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that all is well now when it comes to the St. Louis Blues, but I think we can, even the most negative folks out there about this team, and there are some people out there, trust me, I talk about this team, and I get accused all the time of being too positive about them, even when they're losing games. I think even the most negative person about this team who doesn't think they're going to go much of anywhere, I think everybody, if you take a step back and you're being truthful about what's going on, they have looked better in the last three games. Has it been good enough? No, of course it hasn't been good enough. They only won one of those three. I'm not trying to tell you that their play in the last three games where they've only won one makes up for everything else that's been going on, but they also haven't reached what most of us thought they were going to be this year, and you hope that they're on that trajectory right now and they're going to get to that point at some point. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I do know it is important when you're starting to play better to continue that, because if you're on a little bit of an uptick and then all of a sudden that uptick goes away, sometimes it's hard to get that back very quickly. You almost go back to square one. So that, again, I'm not trying to overvalue or put way too much importance on a game against an Eastern Conference opponent on November 5th. Like I realize what the stakes are, but all that being said, I do think that this is a This is an important game tonight, as important as a game can be considering the circumstances. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. And hour number two, we got a busy hour two of the show. We're going to talk with our friend Jerry Palm. That's going to be at 7:20. We're going to talk with Joe Roderick at 7:35. We're going to hear a little bit from the new sporting director for City SC. He was officially introduced in a press conference today. So we'll listen into a bit of what he had to say. There's a lot to get to, so you do not want to go anywhere, but we'll wrap up hour number one of the program in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Yesterday, the initial college football playoff rankings came out. Again, nothing actually matters until the final college football playoff rankings come out, and we tend to see some wacky things happening on the final weekend, and I'm sure this year is going to be no different. Not a surprise, Big Ten and SEC dominate the top of the rankings. The top six spots come from those two conferences. Top two teams are each from the Big Ten and Ohio State and Tom Ackerman's Indiana squad. And then the next four teams come from the SEC in Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. The top-ranked non-SEC Big Ten team is BYU at number seven, the first of two consecutive Big 12 teams. Texas Tech comes in after that. Some of the other notable placements here, Oregon at number nine. I was talking with Kevin Wheeler. Don't get Kevin Wheeler started on Notre Dame, because Notre Dame comes in at number 10, and that made Kevin Wheeler very angry, just in the sense that Notre Dame hasn't really, I think it's because they lost to his Miami team to start the season in Miami. But Miami has just fallen off here recently, as they tend to do. But Notre Dame started the year 0-2, and they lost close games against Miami and Texas A&M. And actually, you know what? That Texas A&M loss, losing by one against Texas A&M, that looks like an okay loss at this point. But since then, they really haven't played much of anybody. They played USC, who were ranked number 20 when they matched up, and won that game by 10. But they don't have a great resume, but they were put in at number 10 in the rankings. Texas 11, Oklahoma comes in at number 12. Of note, Missouri is at number 22. And I don't expect Missouri to be a college football playoff team this year, but it is also very clear that there is a pathway still for them to get to the college football playoff. And there might even be a pathway with one more loss, depending on what else happens around the nation. So right now, Missouri is sitting as a 6-2 team. If they finish with three losses and one of their losses is against either Texas A&M or Oklahoma, that might not be the worst possible resume. I don't think it's a guarantee, but if some other things happen, they've got two more opportunities to pick up wins against ranked teams, again, A&M and Oklahoma. And then they've got two more games that they absolutely should win and be impressive in the way that they do win. They'll match up against Mississippi State, and they'll match up against Arkansas. So those are the four games that are left on the schedule for the year. If they win three of four, that the door is at least ajar. If they win all four, they're in. If they win three of four, I think there is a possibility of them getting in. If we were talking about Alabama or Georgia having the exact same resume, they're probably in. Missouri, unfortunately, probably has a little bit more of a challenge just because of the biases that exist in the world of college football. And Missouri is Missouri, and that's part of what they've got to deal with. All right, in hour number two of the program, which begins after the 7 o'clock news, we are going to hear from Jerry Palm. We're going to hear from the new sporting director for City SC, some of what Corey Ray had to say today earlier in his press conference. We'll talk with our friend Joe Roderick. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it. Oh, that was do we Kyle Sixton, do we include stuff? We don't include news on the, so people are listening to a podcast. Do they have any idea why I am laughing right now?
They have no idea.
Oh my goodness. Maria Kina and I, during her newscast just now, talked about the busy beavers and the beaver moon and everything that goes along with it. And she's walking out of the studio right now laughing. Oh, that was good. That was good. That was fun stuff. Welcome back in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMO. Oh, now, was the audio on the video stream, or are people on the stream also just completely clueless of what's going on?
I think they're clueless.
Wow. This is sorry. Sorry, everybody. But we... we appreciate you being tuned in. I don't have a whole lot more to say beyond that, except that it is the beaver moon tonight. And I don't think, did we get a real answer on why it's the beaver moon?
I can look it up. Let's see.
Maria walked out. Why is it the beaver moon? The November full moon is called the beaver moon because it marks the time when, I thought she was joking.
I thought it was a joke too.
I thought it was, KMOX News on top of it. The November full moon is called the beaver moon because it marks the time when beavers are busy building their winter dams and lodges. Historically, it was also the season for trapping beavers for their thick winter pelts during the fur trade. The name comes from folklore associated with Native Americans, colonial Americans, and also Europeans. There you go. All right. Beaver moon. So it's not like the shape of the moon. It's the time of the year connected to the moon.
I guess so.
There you go. Well, we're in the really important stuff right now. Gray Bar Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. So today, big day for City SC, as they officially introduced their new sporting director. And we'll see. I keep saying this. You hear me say the whole we'll see thing? I've probably said that about a million times here over the last 2 days when talking about this. But the guy's name is Corey Ray. He is Canadian. He's been around MLS for a while. He had 1 year leading a soccer operation, did that in Montreal, though when you kind of dive in and dig into what went down during his time in Montreal and the way they had it set up and really his lack of his ability to actually do anything because of some of the like checks and balances, for lack of a better term. It seems like this is more the type setup that he is used to. So let's listen in a little bit. So Corey Ray spoke to the media earlier today, and we'll start with him talking about his MLS experience getting him to this point.
Okay, who am I? That's a tough thing again for a Canadian to speak about, but I am a product of my environment. I think you guys know how long I've been in the business, close to 20 years next year, working in all departments. Across that, I have worked with, I think, four ownership groups, five different sporting directors of some sort, hundreds and hundreds of players, 12 head coaches, multiple second team coaches, and then a lot of different people within the league and outside. I have been to five MLS Cup finals, being part of a winning team in three of those. I've been to two Champions League finals, unfortunately losing those. And I say that not to brag or gloat, but I say that as an understanding of, you know, what you can learn from those opportunities and what you can learn in those moments. And I think that is what I'm bringing here.
Kyle, that is a Canadian accent right there.
It is.
I want to talk about what he just said, but you get knocked down. And you know what? That's going to be a voice now that we hear a lot and say, that's great. You think he's a fan of Tim Hortons? Whenever I talk Canada, I always talk Tim Hortons.
I have to think so, right?
Yeah, love Tim Hortons. Love it. I did see Tom Timmerman wrote about today, when he was in Columbus Evidently, he was not happy with the culinary scene in Columbus when it comes to pizza. And he bought a pizza maker and started cooking up his own pizza and learning how to do it at like a high level because the pizza in Columbus, Ohio was not good enough.
Interesting. I hope he likes St. Louis pizza.
He better like Emo's Pizza better be right there. Right there ready to and a lot of other great St. Louis pizza restaurants as well. There's a social media influencer out there. I can't think of his name right now. His stuff pops up on my Facebook and my Twitter all the time. He just does pizza reviews in St. Louis and it's a bunch of places I've never been, and every time I see one I'm like, "Oh, I got to try that. Oh, I got to try that. That looks awesome. That looks awesome."
Thing.
I need to like start writing things down. Anyways, that is Corey Ray talking about who he is. Now, one of the first orders of business for Ray is he's got to find himself a new head coach.
Very, very important to get this clear. They have to be a good person. And I think the character of that person is going to be paramount to moving past any first stage of what we're doing. I will be very firm on that because for you guys, maybe you know or don't know, it is going to be a person I'm going to be working with most hours of the day, and that our club is going to be working with many hours of the day. And so if you do not have someone who is going to have a high character and be a good person, I think we stop the process there. From that, we will then start to look at our club and the vision I spoke about of what we're trying to do and where they fit into that. And I think that is going to be the next stage of defining the profile. And so what I mean by that, some of the things you spoke about. So how do they use, film? How do they communicate with the players? How do they break down the match reports? You know, how comfortable are they using some form of data?
So as he makes this hire, he hopes it is a long-term hire. And then one thing we can say about City, and I'm not trying to take a shot at him, but there's not been a lot of stability. Especially, you just think, and I know, I realize in MLS, a lot of teams make coaching changes fairly often. But you think about what has happened with Bradley Carnell being the first head coach, the success that he had, and then being pushed out so quickly in year number two, and then Hackworth doing a really nice job in the interim, but him not getting the head coaching job, and then going to Olaf Melberg, which was an unmitigated disaster, and he got fired after a short amount of time, and then going to Critchley, who did a really nice job this year, and I don't know, it doesn't feel like he's likely to get the job moving forward, but we'll see. One thing is for sure, Ray said that he really wants to find more stability for the organization.
I can't say enough about the work that was done to get the squad here. But it's normal in the cycle of a team that you have to switch to maybe a different type of squad building. And certainly I have seen that the stability can allow you to add the quality pieces in a much easier way. If you're constantly changing your squad year after year, you're clearly up against something, whether it's the salary cap, whether it's, you know, the assets you have to improve. And I think if you can provide the stability of the foundation of the squad, your core, and what that looks like, then you start looking at, you know, adding pieces, maybe one to two in the offseason, and that's where you can really grow as an organization.
And then the final thing from Ray, he talked through what his next steps are as he moves into this job.
First and foremost, I just got here. So I think it's very important to understand we're going to have an assessment period. That will be very quick, but done to the best of my ability. It will be, you know, clearly looking at the roster, talking to all the staff, and I've already begun that over the last couple of days, and making sure I have a real firm understanding about what we have here internally. And then we will start to set a shared vision and direction going forward, and that will incorporate all of the people I just spoke about. Making sure from that we're going to set new standards for high performance within the group, how we operate, communicate, and how we look at new decisions being made moving forward.
That's Corey Ray speaking earlier today. He is City SC's second ever sporting director following Luke Fahnenstiel. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to shift gears talking college football and college basketball. Jerry Palm is going to join us in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. Some of those 100-year messages fun. Got a little Scott Bakula action right there. Love it. Absolutely love it. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is a friend of KMOX himself. He is now, if you followed along with Jerry Palm and you've read him at other places, you can now read him at palmbrackets.com. Palm is in palm tree. Palmbrackets.com. And he is doing some self-publishing there. Awesome stuff covering both college football and college basketball, and he joins us right now. Jerry, appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with college football. Yesterday, the initial college football playoff rankings, I saw that you had written at palmbrackets.com that essentially what you thought it was going to be is what it was in terms of the teams and most of the seeds. So safe to say nothing really jumped out at you from what we saw yesterday?
No, well, no, not really. I mean, I don't have too many complaints, I guess. I had predicted the top 12 correctly, except I had the wrong team hosting the 8-9 game. So I guess I must have felt that was where they were going to go. And that's where they went. That, you know, that's unusual to be that hot at the beginning of the season or the ranking season. But, you know, there was a lot of changes to it after that. I thought the one thing that probably surprised me the most was at the very bottom, Pitt getting in ahead of, say someone like Cincinnati, because Pitt is, I mean, those two teams are very similar if you look at their schedules, but Pitt lost to West Virginia. That's a 3-6 team, and there must be something in some of the metrics that the committee has that, you know, they don't really share that would favor Pitt in that situation. And it's the other thing that's unusual about it is there's a fair amount of depth from the ACC in these rankings, even though none of them are ranked very highly. There's ACC teams in these rankings, and that doesn't really seem to jive with how just poor they've been relative to the other major conferences.
Well, with Pitt, they made the switch to the Heinstel kid at quarterback. I don't think they've lost since then. So does that maybe show us that the committee is focused more on who they believe the team is right now as opposed to maybe what the record or the early season results might say?
Well, I think that, I mean, they're really supposed to judge the entire season, but it is possible that that's had some influence, you know, the quarterback change being effective. They really aren't supposed to overweight like that. But, you know, those guys are, especially you get these coaches in the room and, you know, they're breaking down film and stuff. And, you know, they think that Pitt's a lot better really than maybe their record indicates. You know, it is a subjective process. They could go with that.
And would that explain Notre Dame at number 10 as well?
Well, maybe. I really didn't have any trouble with Notre Dame that high. I don't know that they haven't peaked, really. Of course, some of the teams around them are going to lose. But so they may not actually fall in the rankings from where they are. But their schedule is pretty much done in terms of quality and the opportunity to you know, pick up the kinds of wins that get them the juice they need to move further up the standings. You know, BYU, Texas Tech loser, though, probably fall behind them. So, you know, they have a chance to move up, but it's going to be more attrition than anything else.
Missouri comes in at number 22, and the rest of the schedule for Missouri, they've got two tough games, home against Texas A&M at Oklahoma, and then they also will have a home game against Mississippi State and at Arkansas. Is there a scenario, Jerry, where if they beat Mississippi State and Arkansas and then they beat either Texas A&M or Oklahoma, that a three-loss Missouri team can find their way in?
I would not hold out much hope for that.
Okay.
It could happen. I just think if we're going to see a three-loss team, it's going to be one that's got a pretty good pile of quality wins. And while Mizzou's had a good season, I don't know that, you know, that would really accurately describe them. Necessarily, because they don't have a win over a team currently in the rankings. So you're talking about, in the way you described it, 1-3 against teams that are likely in the top 25, and that's probably not good enough to get in with three losses.
It would. I think this is probably a dumb question, but I'll ask it nonetheless. It's safe to assume that a win at home against Texas A&M would carry more weight than a road win against Oklahoma?
Yeah, I think so. Because of just where A&M is in the standings, even though it's a home game, you know, that's a high-quality win. And Oklahoma, while that's a good team and that's a road game, I think it would carry more weight to beat Texas A&M.
We're talking with Jerry Palm again. You need to be visiting his website on a daily basis, palmbrackets.com, breaking down everything going on across everything college football and college basketball as well. Jumping over to college basketball for just a moment, hopefully we'll have you on a couple times here during college basketball season if you would be willing to do that. But Missouri, Illinois, they each start off the season playing games against teams that they should win. They both look like good teams coming out of the season. What's your feelings about maybe what the ceilings are for each of those teams?
Yeah, well, for Mizzou, it's a tough league again this year, the SEC. But what that means is opportunity to pick up good wins, especially when you get into conference play. I think Dennis has done a nice job. Dennis Gates, the coach, has done a nice job of building this team up over these few years so that they look a little bit better each year. And, I think there's a good chance for them to make the NCAA tournament. I have them in my projection as a 9 seed. But they get Kansas in non-conference play. Minnesota might be a decent team, but they haven't really overly tested themselves in non-conference play. That's fine. You can do that, but then you've got to make some hay in your league to get the kind of quality wins that you need to impress a committee to get you in. They get Texas at home. They'll get Tennessee at home, Oklahoma at home, Georgia, Auburn. So some of these teams in Florida, of course, some of these teams coming into their place are going to be teams that are, they're competing with in some cases for selection, but also maybe the kind of wins that you can get to give yourself some real good seats. So, for them, you've got so many good opportunities on your home floor in conference play. You really need to take advantage of that to try and build the kind of resume that you need to get selected by the committee.
And then in terms of Illinois, Coach Underwood bringing back a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, they're going to be, I think, at least top 10. They look awfully good. They're big. They're athletic. They really don't have a lot of weaknesses in their game. I know that, Purdue's considered the favorite. They're the number one team in the rankings to start the season. But I think the top of this league with Michigan and Illinois in particular is going to be a real battle all season long. So Illinois is a Final Four contender, I think.
Sometimes when we talk about the best league in college basketball, sometimes we'll define that as the league that's got the best teams at the top, and sometimes we'll define that as the league that has the most depth, that from the first place team to the last place team, you've got some really good teams. Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, who do you look at as maybe the league that does have that most depth where every single night in conference play, it's going to be a grind?
Yeah, I would say it's still the SEC. I don't think we're going to see 14 teams in there this year. I mean, that was really just kind of a strange circumstance that allowed them to get that many in. But we'll find out in non-conference play because that really is going to determine it, because once you get into conference play, those games are a wash in terms of the overall quality of your league. But I had 11 SEC teams in my preseason bracket. I had 10 from the Big Ten, so that's really good depth for both of those leagues. And those two look like a step above all of the other conferences going into the regular season here.
He is Jerry Palm. Again, the new website, palmbrackets.com. You certainly want to check it out on an everyday basis, especially from a college basketball standpoint. It is being updated every day with results from teams. Jerry, congratulations on getting back to the self-publishing and palmbrackets.com. We'll be reading it every day and look forward to talking to you again down the line.
All right, thanks. Anytime.
Awesome. Very good. That's Jerry Palm joining us here on the program, and we appreciate him spending a few moments with us. We are going to take a break, and when we return, our good friend Joe Roderick's going to join us. We get him on fairly often. You see him, you hear him over at STL Sports Central. He is a friend of the program status, and he joins us coming up in just a moment. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. You're locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for another 25 minutes or so. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, it will be a Gas House Gang replay, keeping you up to date on what's going on with the Blues. Not great. They are down to the Washington Capitals right now by a 2-0 score. Alex Ovechkin just scored a goal a few moments ago to make it 2-0. So here to raise our spirits, it is our good friend Joe Roderick. He's part of the team over at STL Sports Central. You see him on a lot of Cardinals stuff, and he joins us right now. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? I am more than happy to try to be better than Blues hockey. That's not that hard to do right now.
Yeah, you took the line from me. With all due respect to the St. Louis Blues at the moment, that's a low bar.
Yeah, it hasn't been fun to watch. I am very happy with my role of mostly Cardinal talk over on STL Sports Central, not having to dive too much. We have people that handle the Blues stuff. I'm very happy about that.
Well, now here is your new trivia, because they just showed this up on the TV broadcast of the Capitals and Blues. That goal was Alex Ovechkin's 900th career goal, so we can always say that Alex Ovechkin scored number 900 against the Blues.
That's 900, so many.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's one of those just stupid numbers that you throw out there when it comes to sports. Like, nobody ever thought that was ever possible to do. And it's just, think about, is anybody going to hit 800 home runs in baseball ever? Like, that's, somebody probably will at some point, but it's stupid to think about when you look at some of the numbers now and to say, like, yeah, maybe one day a guy's going to have 800 home runs in their career.
Well, think about this. Wayne Gretzky scored 92 goals one year. Mario Lemieux scored 85 goals one year. I don't know if it's so many. That's something that we don't see in hockey anymore.
No, and I don't think we ever will, probably, right?
Brett Hull had 86. Brett Hull had 86 in the 90-91 season.
Right, and it's one of those where I feel, I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but I just feel like Brett Hull is very, very underrated, it feels like, in the history of hockey, you know?
Yeah, there was, that was a really fun time in hockey where you had Hull, Lemieux, and Gretzky, and it felt like any three of those guys could be the best player in hockey any of those years. And there definitely was a point where Brett Hull was that guy. But look, I'm not trying to like wax poetic about what the game used to be, because I always get frustrated about when they do that about baseball. But I don't think hockey has ever been able to fully get back to what it was really during that, early 90s period.
Continue to put water on your thought with that. It's one of those where you look at it and you're always thinking like, this is the greatest it's ever been. No, 10, 15 years from now, it's somehow going to be even better. Like,
yeah.
It just is. Every, people, athletes are going to get bigger, faster, stronger, and somehow the game is going to be, and on top of that, TV is going to get a whole lot clearer and a whole lot more realistic, so it's going to be a heck of a lot more fun to watch, too.
It's now 3-0 Washington now.
Jeez, is Hofer in gold? Jeez.
Wow. Joel Hofer taking strays from Joe Roderick.
It's the second period, so yeah, Bennington must be in goal. And if it was still the first, then I would have assumed Hofer was in goal, yeah.
Hofer will start tomorrow against Buffalo, and we'll see how things go. We're talking with Joe Roderick, STL Sports Central. You can send complaints over to him there at STL Sports Central.
It goes right to my email, Matt. Trust me.
I believe you for sure. Let's jump over to baseball here. One of our kind of themes of today has been what Cardinal players could potentially get moved beyond the guys we talk about so much. So basically, the players we talk about a lot are Nolan Arenado, and then thinking that one or two of the guys from that group of four left-handers, we're talking Gorman, Donovan, Burleson, and I'm missing Gorman, Burleson, Donovan, Nootbaar. There it is.
Nootbaar.
Okay, so get rid of those five guys. Arenado and the four lefties. When you look at this team, what's that next guy or the next couple guys that you think could potentially get moved this offseason?
If you're eliminating the lefties and eliminating Arenado, if we're going hitters first, like, it's got to be Contreras, right? Like, that there is going to be, if it hasn't happened already, there is going to come a point in November or December where Chaim Bloom is going to give Wilson Contreras a call and say, listen, I just talked to X team and they're interested in you. Would you, should I keep going with this? And we'll see what happens then. Like, that's, and not only is that something, like, Chaim Bloom has to take any phone call on any player, but if you're Wilson Contreras, you're the veteran of this team. I admire that you have wanted to stick around and be the leader of this team. And you've done a heck of a job being the leader of this team, being that vocal guy in the clubhouse, willing to fight every other roster in all of baseball at a moment's notice. Like, I love that passion. But hey, Wilson, you want to go win your second ring somewhere? Like, we're willing to send you there. Like, that he has to be the next guy. And the same thing goes for Sonny Gray too. And I think it's one of those where with Sonny Gray, he's a creature of habit. And you say, Sonny, hey, would you rather us trade you in November? Because we know that you're really not going to want to go anywhere in July. Like, once you're here, you're here. Once you report down to Jupiter, you're not going to want to change anything. So we're going to take calls in November for you. Where would you be willing to go? And I think those have to be the top two. And I just think, I mean, maybe Sonny Gray's a little more, wants to win. And if you find the right place for him and the right market for him, maybe. I think with a guy like Contreras, I think it's more of the right situation where he could go somewhere and win immediately.
Bernie mentioned it today on his video over at your guys' site, STL Sports Central, that part of what Chaim Bloom probably needs to do here is make sure that teams understand that the Cardinals are legitimately open for business, and not to just, parrot what Bernie said today, but essentially said that Cardinals have had a reputation of maybe being wishy-washy about being willing to do trades, and that's what he had heard from other executives who have dealt with them. So that does seem like it's a new regime, but I have to think that probably the world of baseball is more understanding now that there's maybe a better opportunity to work deals with the Cardinals.
And that's the big thing. Like, this is an entirely new regime. Like, we're not just talking Chaim Bloom. We're talking, assistant GM Rob Serfolio. There are other people within that Cardinal organization, Matt, that you and I, we hear their names, but the casual fans are not going to hear the names of some of the people that are involved in the organization now who are from outside of the organization, who did not work their way up through the system, that the DeWitts went to other organizations and said, hey, we like what you're doing. We're bringing you over. We just saw that they made two signings last week. They hired guys to be in the front office and to work with scouting and down in the minors. They are going out for the first time in decades. I mean, this is an entirely new era of Cardinal baseball where it's not just people that have worked their way up from, John Mozeliak, who threw bullpens, who was throwing batting practice and worked his way all the way up to the president of baseball operations. So I think all 29 teams should be calling the Cardinals and finding out what this new Cardinal era looks like. And the DeWitts, you have to think, if they were willing to go out to other organizations and hire guys away, then the DeWitts have to just tell Chaim Bloom, hey, whatever you want to do, you can do. This is completely new. We are putting it in your hands.
By the way, my answer to that question earlier was actually Pedro Páez, because I think that if they're really going to give Yvonne Herrera the opportunity to catch again, I think there's almost a requirement that you give Jimmy Crooks a major league opportunity, because this might be the one window for that, with Leonardo Bernal being at AAA presumably this upcoming season, and you don't know how long it's going to be till he gets to the big leagues. They have such a glut of catchers right now. I would potentially move on from Páez.
Yeah, and what do you think the market is for Páez, though?
I mean,
like, what? It's one of, like, if somebody calls about Pedro Páez, like, you're going to listen to anything, right? If you think that you can even make a lateral move, I feel like from Pedro Páez, you just kind of do it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're getting a top 100 level prospect, but this organization right now is trying to add as much talent as possible. And honestly, there's not a whole lot of room for Páez moving forward if Crooks and Bernal are the guys that you think they're going to be, and if Herrera continues to catch even a little bit. Teams are always looking for catchers. Teams are always looking for strong defenders behind the plate. Teams are always looking for guys who can have the trust of a pitching staff. And Páez checks all those boxes. So I think there's a possibility that they move on from Páez this offseason.
Even if it's for an arm, like, hey, you got a guy that can give me innings? Okay, I'll take it, because that's going to be the biggest thing going into this offseason is who's going to pitch? Like, who is going to fill every single inning of every game for you going into next year? Because you traded a lot away. You're talking about possibly trading Sonny Gray. Miles Michaelis is gone. And, I mean, you know, fans are going to hate Miles Michaelis all they want, but he still went out there and took the ball and pitched for you every time his start was up. And you aren't going to find many guys out there in free agency that can go out there and start. Was it 35 games that he went out there and started last year? Like, you're not finding that. That's not easily replaceable. And there might be a point next season where we kind of look at the Cardinals pitching rotation and go, man, it sure would be nice to have Miles Michaelis in here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think, look, there's a lot of pressure on Quinn Matthews to be good in spring and make the team. There's an opportunity for Kyle Leahy to take a step forward. If Andre Pallante is still around, and they'll have to tender him a contract for that to be possible. I'm not 100% sure that I think Pallante at the very least is a non-tender candidate. I kind of waffle back and forth if I think he's going to be non-tendered or not, but I think he's at least a candidate for that. And Heim has alluded to the fact that they want to bring in a couple more starters. So it's going to look different. I mean, the only thing I think that's really guaranteed going into next year is Liberatore and McGreevy, and everything else, Gray's up in the air if he's going to get traded. Pallante's up in the air. Leahy's up in the air. Matthews is up in the air. Like, that's, you have two guys who I think have certain roles for next season.
Yeah, and that's with Pallante again. He's just a guy, and if you're going to tell the fans, look, we're not trying to win the division, we're not trying to compete for a wild card, hey, you might, you know what? There's a 1 in 5 chance you're going to buy a ticket to a game, and Andre Pallante is going to be your starting pitcher.
Yeah, that might be where they're at. Or they say that there's
to help the marketing department for the Cardinals for next year, but so yeah, don't use that as one of the slogans going into next season.
I think actually that's the argument against Pallante, because if you're playing in a season where it doesn't matter that much and you've got a young guy who you feel like can be good enough in the big leagues, not that Pallante's not young himself, but I don't know if people really feel like Pallante's ceiling can really go up much more than what it already is.
It can't. It can't. And I guess I kind of look at it. I mean, you mentioned Quinn Matthews. We know Kyle Leahy got the opportunity to be stretched out towards the end of the year, got to start the final game of the season. Is there another name from Memphis last year? Because it feels like a lot of the guys just kind of fell off, you know, all these guys that we had this promise for, and we were looking forward to seeing Tink Hentz, Jerpy, all of the guys, like, they were hurt. And now we don't get that opportunity for them. Like, I was, you know, I remember this was 3 years ago. Like, I was high on Drew Rahm, and that, you know, that fell quick. I was really wrong on that one. But it's, you know, you get these guys down in AAA, and it's like, okay, there's nobody to be excited about. And that's, you know, we've kind of talked about it and brought his name up quite a bit, and it's really easy to do when you see Trey Savage do what he was doing in the World Series this year. Like, okay, you know what? Why not let Liam Doyle, like, why not see how quickly we can move him up through the system?
Yeah, I think he's pitching in the big leagues next year, and I'll like it. Joe, I got to let you go. We're coming up on the end of the show, but encourage everybody to check out everything you guys are doing over at STL Sports Central. Great content being produced on an everyday basis, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Absolutely, Matt, anytime.
All right, very good. That's Joe Roderick. We'll take a break. We got more coming up in just a moment. We'll wrap up this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line after this here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
All right, just a moment or so left here in the show. Bad news, Blues gave up another goal. Jordan Bennington's been pulled. It's not good. I wanted to talk about this. We only have a minute or so. Kyle Sixta, did you see the latest thing that Tom Brady was involved in?
The dog thing?
Yeah. Is this not the weirdest thing in the world?
It's so weird.
So for those of you who don't know, Brady is actually involved in a bioscience company. And he had a dog who passed away a couple years ago. He and the bioscience company, when the dog was an elderly dog but still alive, they took blood from that dog. And now his new dog is a clone of his last dog. Why?
Weird.
Why?
I get it's tough to move on, but that's weird.
I've got two dogs. They are both older. One's 13, one's 14, mm-hmm. So they are... Hopefully they have lots of life left in them, but they are, they're in the fourth quarter. And if somebody offered to do this for me for free, I would respectfully decline.
Mm-hmm.
How weird is this?
That's crazy.
It's this is the proof that some people, when you have lots of money, are not like us. And that's Tom Brady for sure. Have a wonderful night. We'll have a short show tomorrow because of SLU basketball. We'll still have the full 5 o'clock hour, rush hour sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.